Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 350, Peace Increase. So, first and foremost, thank you for listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. To be at 350 episodes, I'm kind of into numbers, but when they're significant, like episode 50, 100, 150, 200, 250, 300, and now 350. Oh, like this pinnacle number. It's like, wow, I did 350 episodes in a little over 5 years. And, you know, I posted this on a Found Art post that I uploaded a photo this morning and commented little things done consistently. You know, doing a podcast is not a big thing. But when you look again at the little things done consistently, I mean, that's like the dopest thing. And what kind of, well, when I look at it, there's a lesson in there. Like, I always had that, you know, voice, you know, stop doing it, no one cares, with Sunday morning messages that I used to email out. And same thing with the podcast. Like, no one really cares, dude. No one's really listening. But it's like, here's the thing. That's what's dope. You did 350. It wasn't that one or that episode, or was that episode good, or who listens. Like, the best thing, I've done 350 of these. Doesn't matter how they are. Doesn't matter which one's the worst, which one's the best. Doesn't matter how many people were listening, are listening. What matters is the most is how good it feels for someone like me to go, wow, that's kind of a mess. Wasn't really sure of a consistent message that I had, that I was comfortable and convicted in. And now, I mean, it's pretty much 5 years been saying the same stuff and getting better at it. Such is the point. We come around 2020, the summer of 2020, the pandemic hits, and, you know, I start doing these podcasts about how well I'm doing and how well the people around me are doing. Like, we're vibrating at a certain frequency, you know, tuned into the station that's like, well, what we're going to talk about today is what you can control, and what we're going to let go are the things you can't control. Thus, in the end, you're going to feel a little bit better just because of that. Again, thankful in all circumstances, not thankful for all circumstances. I can just be, by the choices I make, thankful in all circumstances, and that becomes superpower. And like I said, you know, lost just step by step, moment by moment, for literally, you know, 2-3 years. And I find, like, well, okay, I'm feeling a little bit better. Let me do this one step in front of the other. Okay, I think I have a message. Let me start a podcast. Okay, I think I'm going to do this. Okay, I think I'm going to not do that. And then you fast forward and you're like, wow, he's the best he's ever been. How'd he get there? And that's what I'm selling. Come to my well, by the water I sell. Not fun, not familiar, not quick, not fast, not easy. But you are worth it. You are worthy. Know your worth. I put out a quote this morning. It said, a father goes to his son before the father passed away and said, son, here's this watch. So your grandfather's, it's over 200 years old, but I want you to understand the value of it. So take it to the watch shop on the corner. So son goes, comes back, says, he'll give you $5 for it because it's old. He says, okay, now take it to the watchmaker. So son goes to the watchmaker, comes back. He says, he'll give you $5. He says, okay, now take the watch to the museum. So the son takes the watch to the museum, comes back and tells his father, they offered me $1 million. And the father said, when you go to the right place, the right people will value your value. If you choose to go to the wrong place and those people don't value you, don't get angry. And I was like, wow, it was just, again, just a cool way of looking at it. You know, just that little perspective shift. Like, you're there at a job or in a relationship, and you're just like, I don't feel appreciated. And It's like, leave, quit, I got fired, I got let go, whatever the point is. It's like, you have value. You got to go to the right place where those people see and appreciate your value. So that's why you do little things consistently, because you're deeming yourself worthy. You know your worth. And I talked about the sermon of that pastor, you know, beating up the $20 bill. He says, would you still take it after everything that that $20 bill has been through? Yes, why? Because it still has value. You still have value. You have value. But if you don't believe in it, no one else will. Be the leader in that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening, for being you. Enjoy episode 350, where I chat about my peace increase. Enjoy. All right, I'm going to be straight up honest, right out the gate. I had a lot going on in my head right now. So much written down. And in the back of my mind was, it still happens, right? I go, dude, you're probably not going to have anything to say this week. I mean, there's still a little bit of a remnant of that voice that thinks that, yeah, you're probably done with the podcast. Taking these notes. You know, and then I transfer the little notes from the sticky notes and my phone to the whiteboard, and I'm writing all this down, and I'm like, oh yeah, I got these two things I want to read, and I'm like, oh yeah, that, and I go, oh, but I wanted to do this. My head goes, how can I fit all this? And I went, fit it? What do you mean? You don't have a time limit. And I'm like, you know how great it is to be kind of a mess and still have your own podcast? Like, I'm like, do you have any kind of rhythm? Do you know the title yet? As you're doing the podcast. So I said, you know what? Just start. See how it comes out. So I believe the title I'm going with is Peace Increase. Like, you know, you get a pay increase because my peace has increased. And then I was like, $350. It just meant, you know, I'm in the numbers, certain numbers, number 11, my apartment's 11, you know, when it's 11, 11, 11 after 11 a.m. or p.m. or 11 after 1, numbers like that. But the even numbers, I'm just am, you know, 50, episode 50, 100, 150, it's pretty much been every 50. So to hit 350, there's that little part of my brain that stops and pauses because it's trained and it says, yo, you were a mess. Like 7 years ago, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, and before. And you moved to Hollywood and you did everything right just about to heal as fast as you could. And as soon as you healed, you knew you had a message to share. And now you've done it 350 times. Haven't missed a Thursday. Added a few Tuesdays in 5 years. So again, that's that whole, I love saying that. I love hearing it because it's the truth and I did it. So that whole repetition. You know, there's that little dude walking like a mile to hit a ball, tennis ball, against the wall because there's a blue line. And I'm like, oh, that must be the net line. One dude, one racket, one ball. No music, no iPod, no one talking. Just me hitting that ball. And I could do it. And I could just sit there and hit that ball. And then I could lift those weights and I could kick that bag and I could do repetition. know, when I look back going, oh, all these little things done consistently are the things I kind of like love or I'm passionate about. It's like, wow, I did that for 20 years. Wow, I did that for 30 years. Wow, I've done that for 40 years. Start now. And when you think about it, when I started a podcast when I was 50, but along the way, I went from 50 to 55, became the best me. And I'm like, wow, good timing. That worked out well. And, you know, I kind of was practicing with Mike Furman like a long time before that. So I'm proud. You know, I really am. 350 is a cool thing to me. It's a cool number. And I went, wow, 350 episodes. I did that. And I'm like, way to go, Tom. So kind of taking a little bit of that. Hopefully that voice will shut up one day going, dude, you got nothing to say. Stop. Stop doing that. So the coolest thing, when I see a video on Instagram, you know there's no way to save it. I mean, you can send it to someone else, but you can't post it yourself. And I loved this video. And I've had this alias, the Sinister Minister, Reverend Tommy D. And, you know, because I want to teach my class, I'm yelling and screaming. And it's like I'm kind of a preacher, Southern Baptist preacher. And, you know, when I was a little kid, I was Catholic. And I had told my parents, I go, yeah, I want to be a priest. And there's this one cool priest that played the guitar. And I'm pretty sure that's what I was saying. It's like, I want to be like him, not a priest. But it went on. People would say certain things like, you know, someone said one time about my Sunday morning emails. It's like, you know, that's the only church people get. And people made reference to the things I do or the things I say is, you know, that's the closest people get to that stuff is through you. So I've always kind of been, you know, on that platform, I guess, of kind of a preacher. And I don't mind it in a way, you know, because what I'm talking about, you know, I think stand up on a pulpit and talk about what I'm passionate about. It's like, well, I got a podcast and it's kind of the same thing. I'm preaching. But this guy, I loved it because he was, you know, African-American church. I'm, you know, just guessing Southern Baptist. I've been to a few of those and they're just like a rock concert, man. Everybody's into it. It's just it's a whole nother thing, especially, you know, when you used to be in a Catholic church where you cannot make any noise and you go 180. So he's got this woman up on stage. And I'm like, I could do that. I could get up on a stage like that in front of people. Because I love the message. I could get up in front of a bunch of people. And I could do that. It's just what I felt watching this. Because I love the message. I'm like, how do I share? What do I? And I'm like, okay, we would just tell the story. If you were Sinister Minister Reverend Tommy D. And I go, I got a $20 bill. You want this $20 bill? Of course you want this $20 bill. Okay, I'm going to fold this $20 bill in half. Now you still want that $20 bill? Yep, I'm going to fold it again. I'm going to bend it. I'm going to pinch it really hard. Now there's creases in it. You still want that $20 bill? Yep. I'm going to throw this $20 bill that I bent up, creased it. I'm going to throw it on the ground. Boom. Throw it on the ground. You still want that $20 bill? Yep. I know you still want that $20 bill. Okay, I'm going to step on it. I'm going to step on it. I'm going to squish it. I'm going to kick it. I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to throw it. I'm going to throw it over my head. I'm going to run over. I'm going to jump on it. I'm going to stamp on it. I'm going to run on it. And I'm going to look at you in the face and go, do you still want that $20 bill? And you're going to go, yep. The entire time, you never changed your answer. Why? That $20 bill never lost its value. Boom. I was filled with joy and excitement. And he goes, you may have been thrown, beaten, tossed aside, kicked, abused, but you have still retained your value. And I loved it. It was like one of the clearest, because this dude was doing it with this woman, and she's just sitting, this guy going nuts up on the stage, jumping around, and she's just sitting there going, yep. Yep. I don't care what you do with that 20. She's clocking that $20 bill, waiting to get that $20 bill. And then when he said, I just felt it in my entire body. That's you. Doesn't matter what you've been through, how people treated you, you still have value, and it's that's the hard thing to see. You know, I got a new client, and I'm talking to him, and right away I'm like, you just got to see you like I see you. It just comes out. Like, I can just tell. Like, I'm like, I want to be like you. Like, you have it. Like, how do you not see? But I don't, I get it now. I go, that's my job now. You know, I put out this, that's a whole bunch of quotes I wanted to read, too. Wow, I got a bunch going on in my head. But it was like when your third eye opens, you see things. And then you have this responsibility to tell people what you see. And I was like, okay, that made sense to me. And I'm like, third eye, when I hear that stuff, or in the first 50 years of my life, I'm like, Like, you want to try this thing and you hate it? No. Third eye. That's why that's kind of a little, that's a little weird for me. As you change, the things you look at change. And you see it differently. I'm like, you know what, that's, it's like you have eyes. You have two eyes and you see the physical world, but there's this other eye. And I'm like, I get that now. Like that third eye is when I'm talking to someone. I'm going, oh, Dan's just like Joe. You just had to tell Joe he's great. You got to, you know, bam, look at Joe. All right, do the same thing with Dan. I mean, it's not my physical eyes seeing that. And just like I said, when he had that dollar, the $20 bill, and he handed that woman, you still have value. You could just tell. And I mean, I don't know how big the place was he was at, but I just know that every person in that building felt that message. And I just loved it. I loved it. Well, I'm sharing that. That's the first thing I'm sharing on the podcast. Okay, so now we're going. Where are we going? Okay, this is where we go. So, the whole peace increase, you know, is that kind of that weird thing during this, you know, pandemic new normal to say, wow, it's great, I love it, I'm doing well. But other people that I knew and associated with were having the same experiences. So, I did the podcast, you know, April, best month. I was doing great. And then, you know, this continued into May. And I was like, and there was a thing that happened where now it was like more peaceful. Because I wasn't making enough money to cover the monthly bills and, you know, just, you know, going into my savings. There's a little chatter about that or a little noise once in a while and this and that. And, you know, past couple months, all my clients were training. None of them were going out of town. I got two new clients. And all of a sudden, I was like, okay, that's done. What? I'm paying my bills and rent. I don't got to think about that stuff anymore. And it literally just got quiet. Like, maybe there was this small percentage of chatter. And then it was gone. So I was at the beach and I could tell. Like, I never thought, well, you were still sometimes, you know, of course you just naturally are. I mean, we're not perfect. But I could just tell. I was like, yeah, but now that that last little box is checked, make a little more income. Okay. It was just done. And I'm like, why is that cool to me? And I was like, well, I wasn't thinking more. I wasn't thinking what's next. Okay, now I have two new clients. And it hit me. It was the parable of the Mexican fisherman and the banker. And now I read that a few times and I wrote my own version. And I thought, you know, you're going to the beach twice, sometimes three times a week. You know, maybe sometimes it's once because of whatever. But, you know, on average, probably at least twice a week. You know, you got clients spread out, great clients, quality clients. They pay you well. You love them. They respect you. They're accountable. You know, they don't take you for granted. You dig your home, your car. You love your dog. You know, everything you have in your place, you made. You get to create stuff. What do you want to change? Nothing. What if you worked more and made more money? It's like, no, I don't want to do that at all. And I mentioned on the podcast, like, hey, you want to do a TV show? No. You want to act? Do you want to travel to go to this place? No. You want to shoot a fitness video overseas? No. You want to travel? No, I don't want to do anything. I want to stay right where I am, doing exactly what I'm doing for as long as I can. Thank you, Jesus. And I thought, well, maybe no one needs to hear the parable of the Mexican fisherman and the banker again. But I thought, you know what? I loved it every time. And I haven't read it in a while. And I'm very excited to read the next one, because I definitely don't remember that one that well, because I wrote it and then posted it, and I can't remember when it was when I wrote it. So here's the first one, version one, parable of the Mexican fisherman and the banker. An American investment banker was taking a much-needed vacation in a small coastal Mexican village when a small boat with just one fisherman docked. The boat had several large, fresh fish in it. The investment banker was impressed by the quality of the fish and asked the Mexican how long it took him to catch them. The Mexican replied, only a little while. The banker then asked why he didn't stay out longer and catch more fish. The Mexican fisherman replied he had enough to support his family's immediate needs. The American then asked, but what do you do with the rest of your time? The Mexican fisherman replied, I sleep late, fish a little, play with my children, take siesta with my wife, stroll into the village each evening where I sip wine and play guitar with my amigos. I have a full and busy life, senor. The investment banker scoffed, I am an Ivy League MBA and I could help you. You could spend more time fishing and with the proceeds buy a bigger boat. With the proceeds from the bigger boat, you could buy several boats until eventually you would have a whole fleet of fishing boats. Instead of selling your catch to the middleman, you could sell directly to the processor. Eventually open up your own cannery. You could control the product, processing, and distribution. Then he added, of course, you would need to leave this small coastal fishing village and move to Mexico City where you would run your growing enterprise. The Mexican fisherman asked, but senor, how long will this take? To which the American replied, 15 to 20 years. But what then? Asked the Mexican. The American laughed and said, that's the best part. When the time is right, you could announce an IPO, sell your company stock to the public, and become very rich. You could make millions. Millions, senor. Then what? To which the investment banker replied, then you would retire. You could move to a small coastal fishing village where you would sleep late, fish a little, play with your kids, take siesta with your wife, stroll to the village in the evenings where you could sip wine and play your guitar with your amigos. Love that. So it's like, Tom, if you had more clients and made more money, you could replenish your 401k, replenish your cash kitty, and maybe promote yourself and do more social media and get busier and get a fitness show and get a TV show. And then what? Well, do that for 15 or 20 years until you're like 70. Then what? Well, then you could get a dog and go to the beach two or three times a week. You could make art in your home, studio, apartment. You just have a real slow, balanced, peaceful life. And that is exactly why I wrote the next one. All right, here's the parable of the Pro U guy and the voice. That's what I called it. The voice was in this guy's. I had to dig this because I really don't remember it. That obviously I wrote it, but I really can't. You know, like I said, it's been a minute. The voice was in this guy's head since he was a child, so he didn't know anything different, nor that it was bad. The guy grew up normal. Two parents, brothers, sisters, went to school, graduated from college, got a job, got married, began to spend and consume. I love that. Way to go, Tom. Reading my own stuff and complimenting myself. Oh, he's gone awry. This is just how things were. But not much of what this guy did or felt lasted. And over time, he began to question everything. The first thing he began to question was the voice inside his head. It took a very long time, but he finally had achieved that which he had always longed for, quiet between his ears. He didn't realize what the voice was. It was just how things were. This guy had built a reputation and a pretty good wage, achieving peace. He redirected his life in a more spiritual way where he was not pursuing human things, not spending more, not consuming. His world became small and controllable. This is where he found peace, and this is where he identified the voice and its negative effect. He would get up every morning and run through the Hollywood with his, and run through the, not the, just run through Hollywood with his best friend, his dog, with no leash, no collar. Why? Because he could. He might have a client, then work out, eat, walk his dog again, go to the park, make some art in his Zen garden, his studio, or go to the beach where he played with his dog and did stone balancing. He did this most days. The stone balancing was his art and his meditation. He would go 2 to 3 times a week because he chose when to go to the beach. He found the beach all to himself and his dog. Most of the time, he had found peace, balance, and quiet. His church. This was now how things were. When the voice would stop by and say hi, no. The voice never truly leaves. One just learns how to turn it down and not pay attention to it. It would disguise itself in numerous ways, like, you are feeling so good. Shouldn't you have more clients? And if you didn't go to the beach as much, you could work more, make more money, save more, spend more, buy more things, accomplish more, do more things, go more places like everyone else. Over his long pro-you journey and his claim, never giving up, this guy had learned the power of pausing and staying curious, reflecting. So we always questioned the voice. Why? To most everything. This gave him the power and took it away from the voice, who, for the record, he had received this voice from his father while he was a child growing up. Just to stop, pause, and question how he felt was one of the biggest lessons he had learned and achieved. The voice responded, if you did more to earn a higher level of income, one day you could do whatever you wanted to do, whenever you wanted to, when you retire, like your father. This was now how things were. This guy had built his how to respond muscle into one of his strongest muscles he had. He had lost a sister, a girl he dated, and his first dog. He knew. All the voice cared about was making this guy worry about tomorrow and the things he couldn't control. This guy knew no one gets tomorrow, so he decided to keep doing it differently and be/stay thankful that he got to live today. This is how things are now. All right, I'm happy with it. I liked it. I wish I knew when that was exactly written. But it's like you say about my older stuff. You could tell there was always a hopeful wish of intention with my stuff. Like, I'm here almost, but wanna be. I can feel this is good and I want to get there. Because when I read that, I'm like, I'm there. I totally feel there. And again, that's what hit me. I'm out there going, hey, you want to make more money? Nope. You know, you got 7 clients. You want more? Nope. You just have like 16. Yep, don't care. Yeah, but shut up. All right. I'm going to read this now. I don't really think there's an order to today, people. This I thought was cool. 6 things your soul wants you to remember. And it's always on this same site called The Higher Perspective. .com. I really like it. It pops up, I don't know, on like Facebook or something. It's an article, and then I save the tab, and I open it up, and everyone I save, it's, you know, it's like, I like these. All right, 6 things your soul wants you to remember. 1, this is only temporary. If you're in a bad place, it's only temporary. If you're in a good place, it's probably also temporary. Things aren't stationary in life. The universe is ever changing, and so are we. Everything in this moment is temporary. Don't get used to it. This too shall pass, good or bad. I say it all the time. So fantastic. Love number one. Two, you have what you need. Short, simple, to the point. Boom. All the skills, all the talents, and all the motivation you need to succeed are already within you. I scream that to people. Love that. You need to believe in yourself and do your absolute best to get where you want to be. You have all the necessary tools already, but why you don't see those tools, this is me, why you don't see those tools is because of fear. When I talk to someone and they're like, yeah, it's like they don't want to do something because they're afraid of it. It's like, you're afraid you can't. It's only on your mind because you know you can. Display courage. That's doing it in lieu of the fear. All right, we got three. You don't need to change. If you want to change, change. But understand that you don't actually need to change anything about yourself. You are good enough and smart enough as you are. Don't let anyone tell you what you have to change, who you are. I love that. Four, live in this moment. This moment right now is the only one you're ever promised. A moment from now, your life could be over. Boom. Instead of worrying about moments to come or losing sleep over moments past, really love and experience this moment in time. Five, accept your fate. Understand that you aren't in control of everything in life. Release control. I love that. That's something I've been preaching for a while. You know, it's like you're just really like, if I look at the last 5 years, 7 years, yeah, I designed it all. I'm that good. There are things that I am not in control of. You just let go. Don't try to command everything around you. Let the universe do what it's going to do. When you stop trying to control, you'll be so much better off. Thank you. Remember, you are not alone. You are not alone. No idea where that came from. You're never alone. There will always be someone there for you. And even if you're stranded on a desert island, you still have you. All right? One more. Five simple ways to create good karma. Now, how can that be bad? One, practice mindfulness. Boom, we have a winner. It's important that all of us learn how to be mindful towards others. Not everyone has the same luxuries or privileges as each other, so it's good to keep in mind just how hard things may be for them right now. Kindness is one of the best methods that you could practice in order to achieving some of the best karma to circle back to you. Be passionate about others. Being passionate about others is also a good way for you to practice being mindful towards others. Two, try meditating. Meditating allows us the necessary space to contemplate on the things that we can improve on. In fact, meditation can help you find clarity in being kind as well as passionate to others. Three, always help others. If you are ever presented with the opportunity to help someone in need, take it. This is probably one of the best methods you can to practice in order to have some really good karma in your life. Four, practice honesty. Being honest is one of the most crucial things that we could do for us to have good karma. If you are someone who typically lies all the time, then you shouldn't really expect others to want to tell you the truth. The truth is something we all have a right to hear, no matter how cold it may be. Being honest is one of the true tests to a person that not all of us are able to succeed in. Last one, five, find purpose in life. One of the last things that you could do to have good karma in your world is finding something to give you purpose in life. I find that very true. Like when I'm like, okay, I get it. Really, it was balance, but it was like, you are Zen's friend, you know, owner. I don't like saying that, but that's the, you know, that's number one. And then you have a podcast. And then you have clients. You know, it's like, I'm like, I get it. There's just no gray. Got it. Thanks. Moving forward. This purpose could be any variety of things, just as long as it's helping the people, helping yourself, and helping anything else just by existing. There you go. So, these are my notes. Very random. Miscellaneous. I wrote down miscellaneous. So a client talking about the whole new normal. He said, we may never shake hands again. And he's like, well, it's a dumb tradition anyways. And it just stuck with me and it floated in my head. And I thought, I think, and I was going to Google it and I didn't. I think it started when it was like people wanted to make sure you didn't have a gun in your hand. I really think that's, at least what I heard. It's like if you put your hand open hand, it's like there's nothing in my hand. And the guy's like, oh, nothing in my hand. Cool. That's what I heard. But I literally stopped shaking hands like 2 years ago. And there's just one place I went where, you know, people would kind of buy products and, you know, this same guy that I would see all the time was just a friendly dude. And one day I was like, okay, this dude's shaking my hand and everybody else's. And I thought, so one day I just kind of did the fist bump. He's like, oh, what do you say? Germaphobe or something like that. I go, no, because I'm not. Like, you know, if people like look at the stuff I do with Zen, they're like, oh my God, you know, Zen licks his. Like my face, his tongue goes in my mouth 90% of the time. I mean, I'm not at all. But it was just that thing going, you know, your hands just seem like this contact thing. And it was just like everybody you touch, everything you touch is on your hand. And you've been at work for 6 hours and I walk in, I'm like, what is accumulated? You know, because no one's washing hands back then. So I just kind of stopped it. I just wasn't really that. I just, you know, head nod, fist bump. I'll be like, yeah, and just, but it was not because I was a germaphobe. It was just like, I just didn't really think it was a thing that, and it was so funny. Fast forward again, wow, I've been shaking hands. I don't really need to stop doing that. It's kind of funny how that stuck in my mind. So my workouts, chatted about that a little bit. You know, been working out since I was 13, so that's a long time. And every time I, you know, try to do the, I was doing the live workout Wednesdays, kind of a basic, you know, kind of workout that I would do with dumbbells and, you know, other body movement stuff. But it's just like my body's like rejecting it. Just gets really tight or out of alignment or funky. And I'm like, what's the deal? So the less and less I would do it. And I'm doing more and more just kind of like body movement stuff. Things I do with my clients. Because none of my clients have big dumbbells or are that strong where they need over 30-pound dumbbells. I mean, most of them are using under 30-pound dumbbells, and I have only 25s and downs. So I just like, okay, I'm going to do this kind of a workout. And then it was really mild, and I rested. The next day, you know, I still foam roller every day, and then I was still running every day, but I was just working out less, and I would do the sun salutes and just, again, body movement stuff. And I started going, okay, my body's definitely feeling better. And I noticed that when I was walking the earth, and I always have said this to clients, and hadn't really felt the change ever myself, because I was me for a very long time, walking the earth, how I felt physically. And I would say, you just want to walk the earth and go like, well, I just feel better. Like, you can just tell. Like, not because I was working out, or I was running, or just, and I was walking Zen. It was a Sunday, and it was like my posture just felt better. And I was like, just so, because I know I'm hypersensitive, aware of my body and how it feels and moving and all that. And maybe when it was like, that's what hit me, I was just like, oh my God, this is just, and I'm like, well, right away, I was like, well, how are your workouts? You know, you're not doing those heavy dumbbells. You're not doing those things that you are still trying to do. So, hey, you feel better. Quit worrying about what you want to do, what you think you should be doing. And do what works. You know, what it's just the thing is, quick question, what serves you? Does that type of workout serve you? No, stop. How about that workout? Yes, go do that, done. So this is great day. And again, there's because like of the peace increase. So these moments I stop, I was like, wow, that was a good moment. Or wow, that was a good day. Like it's, you know, again, your purple just seems to shine. And then you're more thankful for it. So it glows and you're more thankful for it. And then it's overwhelming and it becomes humbling. You're like, why is things so good? So I'm pretty good about keeping my car clean. I got this little trick. If it's relatively clean and it rains, you get up that next morning and you can just wipe it down, you know. But if it's dirty, you don't want to be wiping dirt around on your car. So I just keep my car clean. Now the inside is just different because I have a dog and I go to the beach a lot. So there's just dog hair in sand where I don't think I really, I like wouldn't even vacuum. Like I just kind of brush it out, a towel or whatever. I got this dog hair thing. So I keep it pretty clean. I got towels up. I got blankets up in the back, you know, so it's not bad, but there's just, you open my car door right now, you're going to see dog hair and sand. And I just went out there one day and I, you know, cleaned the outside. I said, I'm just going to do this. Zen was sleeping inside, so pulled out his bed, pulled out the blankets, and I got this little, it feels like a piece of charcoal briquette, not black. It's great, but that's what it feels like. And you rub it on whatever material, and it just takes the dog hair off. And I was like excited because I bought this thing like 3 months ago, and I'm always like that. I'm apprehensive to use things if they don't work or you wasted money. So I won't use it. Then I won't have to get the bad news. So it just sat there forever, and I go, okay, I'm just going to, and it works. It really works dope. I have no idea what it's called because I bought it so long ago, I forgot. So I did the mats, and I did the floor, and then I did the seats, and then I kind of reconfigured how I set up the blankets in the back, and I was like sitting there, and I'm like, oh my God. I go, I've never done that to my car on the inside, and it looked great. And I walked in, and you know, I kind of take care and maintain this little rock garden I made. So when I walk outside of my Zen studio apartment and I look down, that's a little area. And I kind of cleared it and put these stones. And when I, you know, pick up all the leaves and pull any weeds and I wet down the stones, just kind of dope looking. And it's been a little bit of work to maintain it, but I just find myself like walking out and I happen to look down. That's why I change. I look down going, God, that's messy. God, that's yucky. I'm like, I just make something down there that I like looking at because I look down there a lot. And now I really enjoy doing it. So there, dude was replacing a AC unit or something, but stepped all over it. And I was like, oh, I'm done. Not doing that anymore. Just, and I was like, sure enough, it was this day. So I'm on this roll. And I get that cleaned. I come in. I do my laundry. And then it's funny how I still move things around in the Zen garden. Or I'll like make something. I got to make room and pull something over. And it was like that afternoon. And I was like thinking of everything that I cleaned, organized. Oh, and then I went through the DVD thing. I think a couple episodes I mentioned that. And I had two drawers on my desk. And I went and I was like, I could just go through those. And then I'm like, oh, hey, I really could organize that or go through it. Threw some stuff out. I'm like, I've never been this organized. I've never been this clean. And it's like, I love everything. And I thought about it in the past. Like, there'd be something that was like, okay, but I didn't love and it was taking up space. Now, if it's in my Zen garden, I love it. I love looking at it. It functions. It's built well. It's clean. You know, the more stuff I've made, I kind of had some stuff piled up around my work area and, you know, like a to-do list, but it was actual physical pieces of driftwood and stuff. Well, that's less, so it's just cleaner and just everything feels better. So it's just, again, the peace increase was just tangible. Like there's less in my head. I'm more peaceful at the beach. Making some really cool art, and one of my pieces, I belong to like 6 rock groups, art, land, beach art, on Facebook, and I think this one is called Beach Art Worldwide, and they use one of my photos for the group's cover photo, and that never happens to me, and it was like, you know, 3,000 members or something like that. I'm like, no way. I'm like, that's cool. I'm like, wow, my photograph, my art made the group. I'm like, and that's why I was like, you know, again, the whole Mexican fisherman thing, I don't want anything to change. I love everything. Like, everything's perfect right now. And I'm like, I just cleaned everything and I just had energy still. And I was like, I'm doing it so well right now. Like, I'm in that zone. Everything's clean. I'm keeping it clean. Everything's organized. I'm keeping it organized. I got balance. I'm maintaining the balance. I'm staying thankful. I'm staying mindful. And there is a definite shift of target. I went, I don't know what it was, I drove by, it had to be 3 weeks ago, and there was a line outside, down the steps, around the block, and down the street, and I was like, and I left there and went to Ralph's, this grocery store, and walked in and out in 15 minutes, everything I had, everything I needed, so I like, didn't get it, but it was now, I guess last week. And I went to Ralph's, got what I needed, but it's, you know, I just got to drive like another mile on the same exact street, and there's Target. So I'm like, well, let me just go by and see. And it was 8:05 in the morning. Target opens at 8. So I pull up, you know, drive, no line. I look up the steps, no line. And you can see all the way to the door on the second floor if you're driving by, you know, slow, which you're going through an intersection, you are. No one. So I pulled in and went to Target. I was like, and like the, you know, the whole, you know, you go to amusement park and they got the, you walk through this way, the maze that kind of creates the line. They kind of had that going on. They got rid of that. Again, bought everything I needed. And I'm like, so you just tell there was like a shift, like, that stuff, like when you walked in, it was like, panic, long line. And this was something kind of funny. I don't know, it was just people being bored or reaching out for different new things, but I started getting photos from people of stone balancing. There was, well, Joe Ringen Eric, who I've talked about a billion times and had his own podcast episode, his son Declan, sent me a picture of Declan. He was out stacking these stones, and I was like, I love it. And I don't know why, it just makes me smile and laugh, because people are like, oh, so and so put a rock on a rock, let's send that to Tom. One, they're doing it and they think of me, and they send it to me, and I don't know why, it just tickles me. It just, I don't know, makes me smile every time. So this girl Brianna, I used to train a million years ago, she's got two baby boys, and I don't know where they were, but there they were stacking stones, and she takes a picture and she sends it to me, you know, thinking of you, had to send you this. And again, makes me smile, fills me up. And then I've mentioned my tattoo guy Jeremy Swan, his thing on Instagram is Mr. Swan. I always call him Master Swan because he's so good. But he sent me a picture. He's going, hey, look what I'm doing. And it was just so funny that people were like, I don't know, that they were doing it and then thinking of me before, whatever, after, and then sending it to me. I loved it. And two more. So I mentioned, I think this was in an intro, that my Apple TV, you know, it's like this little black little deck of cards size box, and you turn it on, it lights up, you turn your TV on, and there it is. You know, it's not a whole lot to do, no buttons, nothing else. And that night I came home and I just watched a movie the night before, Capone, Tom Hardy, love Tom Hardy, don't watch it, it's horrible. I never give movie reviews, there's one. Just not enjoyable. And like I said, that was Saturday night. And then here, no, that was Friday night. And then Saturday I got up, got back from, yeah, that's what it was. Saturday I got back from the beach. And it was on 4 or 5. And I turned it on and turned on my TV. And it said no signal. And I looked, and I was like, it's funny. I'm like, nope, light's on. You know, light's on the Apple TV. So I'm like, no, it should be. And the TV's going, no signal. I'm like, nope, there's a signal. I'm like, no, it's not. And right away, I'm like, no clue. And it's tight back there. And I just think of like, it's going to be work and I'm going to have to unplug stuff. And I got things covered and buried. And there was kind of this little tremor of, and then it was like, yeah, okay, what if it didn't work ever again? And you didn't. And I kind of went into this cool little like, whatever. I was like, wow. And I put that on the. I think it was the intro to the last episode. So next day, Sunday, not thinking about it, doing my thing, da-da-da, and I always kind of get through the day, and I'm like, oh, wow, I haven't turned on TV or music or something, and I'll notice how long I went in the quiet. And I know over the cold quarantine thing, they've been playing different things on TV. I'm like, okay, it's Sunday. Let me just see what's on. I'm like, I don't want to watch any old basketball championship games or anything like that. But let me just see, because I could just tell there's different stuff. And I'm like, I don't, Apple TV wasn't working last night. Not even going to turn it on. Don't want to deal with it. So I turn it on, and it's golf. And it was like this live event. And Rory McIlroy was one of them. I forget the other dude that I kind of knew these guys. I watched a little bit of, I've enjoyed watching golf. It's like very peaceful to me, you know, watching, walking around in nature. It's beautiful. It's green. There's trees. It's quiet. And then there's competition. They're not yelling. They're not screaming. So I've kind of, there's been times where I've really enjoyed it. And this was this, they're doing like a money raising thing for the pandemic thing. And so these dudes were carrying their own bags and wearing shorts, which they don't do. So it was a whole different vibe, and it was cool. So I'm like, okay, that's on. I'm putzing, you know, with pictures on my computer. Zen's chilling, all as well. And then they bring in Trump. And I'm like, and they start chatting with him. And I'm like, I haven't watched the news in 4 weeks. Like, I'm avoiding all TV. I'm watching golf, and it's not a regularly, you know, scheduled like big pro event. These are dudes just trying to raise some money. And I was like, oh my God. And so I'm like, well, let me just, I clicked it twice to the, you know, to switch it to Apple TV and turn my Apple TV on, and poof, went on. And I was like, all right, fix that. There was this, I cannot, what are they called? It was, this is way, way, way back. But they were Canadians, and they're like a sketch group. And a bunch of them are still working today, and you'd recognize them. But they had this one skit where this guy got into his car with his wife, and they were dressed really dorky, and he tries to start the car, doesn't. He gets out, opens the hood, and tells his wife to start it now. Try it now. It doesn't start. He walks around the car, he goes, okay, start it now. He shuts the hood. He's like, oh, he's try it now. Like, he's done, not doing anything to the engine, just like trying these weird little gimmicky things. And I thought of that going like Saturday. I'm like, oh my God, if I pull, because I have a big entertainment kind of center. I mean, it's low profile, but it's long and wide, and it's heavy. And I know I have to move that to get to the cables. And it's not a lot of room to move a lot of stuff back there. And I really don't understand what went wrong. So I don't really know what I'm looking for. And to get in, I'm like, yeah, I'm just not going to deal with it. Now, again, this is subconscious, but how one deals with a test directly determines the outcome of that test. I wake up the next day. I'm not thinking about it. You know, I'm not necessarily wanting to listen to Trump. So I'm going, you know what? I'll just, Apple TV worked. I'm like, okay, that's fixed. And I didn't do anything, and I have no idea how it went on. But it never did that before. I mean, I'm pretty sure I've had the Apple TV since I got here. That's 7 years, 6, 7 years of, like, you know, you turn on the TV, you turn on the Apple TV, there it is. It's not a complicated system. So I just kind of thought that was funny. And then, I don't know where it was, but I was like, I'm just done. And I turned off the TV. And it was funny how I went from, okay, the Apple TV might not be working. What if I went without it? What would it be like to not have it? Hey, I'll see if there's something on TV I can watch. Hey, golf, I'll watch that. Oh, not watching this. Hey, let me try Apple TV. Hey, my Apple TV works. Yeah, I don't care. I want it in quiet. Full circle. And there it was, whatever time it was, and I was sitting in the quiet with Zen, doing my thing in the Zen garden. And going, there's another story. Grabbed a sticky note and wrote it down. All right, this is the last one. I'm going to end with this one. So I always said very early on, Zen kind of became my teacher. And when he was hurt, someone said, you know, Zen's fine. He just wants to be with you. And I actually looked at him in that moment. He's looking at me, tail wagging, smiling. And I was like, you don't need to go to the beach puppy park run. You don't need to do anything. You're just happy right here now. Why aren't I? I should be like you. And then one time Zen had to get defensive, and I was like, the only time I've ever really seen him get that way. He gets a little bit more and more now, but he just was so calm after they walked, two dogs walked away, and he just like turned around and smelled. It was like nothing. but he only has ever done that once. And I'm like, I do that shit all the time. I'm like, well, how does he do it? I mean, right away, I was like, you know, again, I was in martial arts, and martial arts are based on animals. You know, so people are watching animals and going, okay, that's how they fight. Let's adapt that to a human form. Kind of the same thing. Like, Zen's always happy. Sticks to his own, you know what I mean? Just, so again, so I, right away, it was like, okay, I'm here learning. He rescued me. He's not here to learn from me. He's here to teach me. So fast forward, you know, we'll go to the puppy park, and he don't really care about other dogs. I mean, he's happy to be there with other dogs, but there's videos where I have him in the corner smelling, and I turn, and there's like this, you know, 5-acre dog park, and all the other dogs are running around. Zen's on the whole other side all by himself, and then lately I just think, but he's like me. And people say, like, you know, your dog kind of just learns to do what you do. And yeah, you know, if I didn't go to the beach, Zen wouldn't be going to the beach. But it just seems like he loves the beach. Like, he's meant to be there like I am. And it's like we're walking, and I'm like, you're a lone wolf like Papa. Like, you just are. I can just tell. And like, we're doing something, a dog will come up, and it'll be like a puppy or something doing something. He's kind of like, yeah, and you can tell he's kind of a little bit irritated. And I'm like, you're little, like, they say, you know, dog years, he's 5, so he's like in his 30s. So he's not like the grumpy old man that's Papa necessarily is at this point. But it's just more and more that we hang out. I'm like, oh my God, we're so alike. Just how he is. And like, you know, you learn his mannerisms and like what he blows off and what he doesn't care about. And oh my God, it's just so funny. But it just hit me going, you and Zen are becoming more and more alike. And I'm like, you're 55. You have a dog that you've had for 5 years or 4 years, and he's 5. And that's what's in your head. The overwhelming factual data that's just tangible that you and this dog are very, very, very similar. And I like it. I like that I'm like Zen. I hope I become more and more like Zen. Well, that was a lot to share, a lot to go over. And I do hope that there's always just one thing that resonates. You know, like, there's just one thing that gets you, one thing that goes, oh. So you can just take that one thing and add it to your path, add it to your toolbox. And just start doing those little things consistently. Like, all the things I'm talking about, the joy I'm talking about, are from doing little things consistently over time. 350 podcasts, that brings me joy. Being good at being a dog owner, I've been doing it for 4 years. That brings me joy. Being at the beach, doing the stone, the artwork, that brings me joy. What also brings me joy is sharing. And where what I share lands and it's received well, and those that are listening prosper from it. They take it as breadcrumbs. They take it as seeds that they can plant and nourish and water and watch grow. And that's the coolest thing. Like, I didn't start this podcast going, watch what I'm telling y'all in 5 years. You know, I really didn't. I'm like, okay, thankful and mindfulness. I had that. Be thankful and mindful. But I probably changed the most in my life the last 5 years. And I'm like, wow, I got to record it. I got to share it. I mean, there it is. Little things done consistently. I just started 50. Go now, start. Yeah, where are you headed? Not really sure. What's it going to sound like in 5 years? No clue. Fast forward, I'm like, wow. I'm talking about how my peace has increased by becoming a better me. I'd be proud of myself. I am proud of myself. I want you to be proud of yourself. deem yourself worthy because, should I get a drum roll? You are worthy. Welcome to your pro you moment. As always, stoked you're here. Thankful for this time that we spend together focusing on you. Let's begin to control that which we can. Seated on the floor, legs crossed. Neutral neck, shoulders over your hips, navel tucked into the spine, eyes closed, drawing the inhale through the nose, allowing the exhale out the mouth, elongate it, slow it down, keep the mind connected to the body by keeping your focus on the breath, the in and the out, while your body stays in this position. If anything else enters the space between your ears, calmly, quietly, ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now.
Thank you.
there. Little thing done consistently. 180 seconds. You feel different now. You did something. You connected your mind to your body and blocked out everything else. Blocked out everything else. You distracted yourself from everything else. The good distraction, a positive distraction. And 180 seconds later, you feel different. You feel better. What if you kept doing that consistently? These are the seeds. Hopefully I'm planting. And hopefully they begin to take root. And you nurture them. And they continue to grow. So you continue to follow that path of self-discovery, that pro-you path. So you get those breadcrumbs, those rewards, that peace increase. That's my hope. That's my prayer. That's my wish. That's why I do what I do. Feels good to do it. But if no one's hearing, no one's receiving, no one's affected, then there's not that full circle, that flow. Just think about it. Just think about you and today and the rest of your life. You really can just turn that path you're walking a few degrees to the left or right and start championing yourself and cheerleading yourself and loving yourself and being proud of yourself and believing in yourself and trusting yourself, thus deeming yourself worthy. Peace and God bless.